Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Miss Faith, for coming up and showing off some of your plants that you have brought with you today. Miss Faith is a little bit of a gardener. I hope I'm not spilling any secrets by saying that. It's good that we have gardeners in our congregation because I myself am a little bit of a black thumb. I have a complicated relationship with plants, unfortunately. But that's not to say that I don't appreciate them. I think that a lot of plants are amazing. And in fact, trees specifically are really amazing. You know, the largest organism in the world is a tree. It's a tree, or rather a set of trees that are connected by roots that stretch for hundreds of square miles. Aspen trees in Colorado are all the same organism connected through their roots. Also, the oldest organism in the world is a tree, if you didn't know that either. I believe it's a sequoia that's in either Baja, California or Alta, California, somewhere in California, that is over 3,000 years old. Trees are some of the oldest, some of the largest, some of the strongest organisms in the world, which makes me sad to say that I find them a lot of the time pretty boring, frankly. I remember I was going to visit my brother, my older brother, when he was graduating. He lived in Washington at the time. So my whole family went over to Washington to see him graduate. And as we were driving through the state, Washington is completely full of these huge pine forests that are scattered throughout the Cascades region and all throughout the mountains and such. And these pine forests have extremely tightly packed trees, so that when you're driving through the state, you really can't see anything past about 4 feet from the highway because of how tightly together these trees are packed. Which means that when you're driving for 2 hours and seeing the same tree over and over and over again, it gets a little boring. Which makes it kind of interesting to me that the Apostle Paul uses the image, or at least an image from a tree, to describe the life of a Christian. He talks about a tree's roots, especially when he's talking about walking in Christ, because as you might know, trees aren't very good at walking. They're also not very good at learning either. Trees don't have eyes. They don't have eyes to read. They don't have ears to hear. They don't have brains to think. So when Paul is talking about remembering the things that you have learned, it's sort of interesting to me that he uses the image of a root. The fact is that trees are not very similar to us. At least, they're not very similar if you're looking at them from the outside. But if you go deep inside of a tree and you zoom way in on what a tree looks like at a microscopic level, you'll find that they're a lot more similar to us than you might think. See, just like trees, we need nourishment. And while trees use roots to gather nourishment from the soil, we of course have mouths to feed ourselves and everything around the mouth, of course, to put stuff in it. And we have blood vessels and hearts to pump all of those nutrients around our bodies. Well, trees have something similar. They don't have a heart, but they do have something called capillary action. It's actually something that you can demonstrate for yourself if you've ever used a paper towel before. Because even if you put only a little bit of the paper towel into water, you'll notice that the water goes up way further into the paper towel than you dipped it. This is the way that trees bring their nutrients around their bodies. And in fact, if you zoom in into the cellular level, you'll find that the cells use the same proteins and the same mechanisms that we do to bring those nutrients out of their various vessels and into their cells, the same proteins that we do. Just like us, trees need to be nourished. And the thing about trees is that those same roots that keep trees solid and unmoving and kind of boring, those are the roots that allow them to be so strong, that allow them to live for so long, because those roots cling to that soil and bring nutrients from that soil into the rest of the tree. The same roots that hold them still also nourish them. They're holding on to the soil for dear life, in a very literal sense, because they're getting their nutrients from the soil. That's what roots do. So when Paul is telling us to be rooted in Christ, he's telling us to be like those plants. To be solid and unmoving in Christ, yes, but at the same time, also receiving everything that we need from our Lord, who gives us the living water of His Word and Spirit. That's where our roots need to be in order to live. Now, this Tuesday, we are going to be welcoming many of you young people into this building, into the rooms that are all throughout these halls and some of the rooms that are even under us right now. And in fact, we'll be welcoming you into this very space here that we're in today. And I think that it is important that we bring these young people into this space, because you need to develop these roots in Christ while you're young. Because Paul has more to say. Paul also tells us, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy or empty deceit, according to the human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For those of you who are starting your school years, you are going to see these empty deceits. You are going to see these elemental spirits. These are the things that will try to tell you that you are not smart enough to complete your schooling, that you're wasting your time, that when you have trouble, you're all alone and you can't tell anybody. These are the kinds of empty deceits that will try and isolate you from your friends and from your classmates and try to drive you apart. Our Lord has a message for you. Do not listen to those empty deceits. Our Lord has loved you and has done so much for you and loves you so much that He has appointed people for you in order to teach you and in order to bring His life-giving word to you. And He still nourishes you even to this day so that you can grow those roots into Him and so that you can live. For those of us who are sending young people to school, I know that you might be familiar with some of the empty deceits of this world, some of the empty philosophies, some of the elemental spirits that are threatening our young people today. God has appointed people to care for them, and He Himself has cared about them so much that He has given His Son to die for them, and through His own blood to nourish them. But more than that, He has chosen you. He has chosen you to bring His word to our young people. The fact is, though, that we do not need to be going to school to see these empty deceits in our own lives. for those of us, even for those of us who may not be immediately connected to our school or to schooling in general, the fact is that there are still empty deceits for us. Empty deceits that say that the world is passing us by, or that say that the younger generation is not worth fighting for, or that say that it is not worth investing the time and resources into educating our kids. Do not listen to them, because our Lord has a message for all of you, that he cares for both you and for your children, for both the old and for the young, that he has given his word for all of you, and he has chosen all of you to bring that great and glorious word to the people who are around you, so that he can grow your word, so that he can grow your roots, so that he can give you life. Cling to his promise. Cling on to it for dear life, because that is where you are going to find your life. Cling to it like the roots of a tree. Be unmoving, but also remember that that is where God has brought you your own life. The same Lord who who provided dry bones in the desert with flesh and with life, the same Lord who provides living water for us, the same Lord who died and rose again for you, he still nourishes you to this day. Cling to him. Amen. You, I'm speaking to the congregation now. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you have heard the solemn promise of these teachers, these volunteers, and these staff who have been called upon to serve in the church. I ask you now in the presence of God, will you receive them, show them fitting love and honor, and support them by your gifts and fervent prayer? If so, then answer, we will with the help of God. The Almighty and most merciful God, strengthen and assist you always. I ask you now, are you ready and willing to assume this office? If so, answer, I am.
I am.
I therefore install you as teachers, staff, and volunteers at Hope Lutheran Church and School, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and most merciful Lord, we thank you for providing faithful men and women in your church to assist and support the office of holy ministry and its work among us. Grant your Holy Spirit to these teachers, volunteers, and staff, and adorn them with wisdom and power from on high. Incline both young and old to godliness and obedience, and let them so benefit by instruction in your holy word that they may serve you all their days, and finally obtain eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Go in peace and joy. The Almighty and most merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, will be with you and bless you and strengthen you for faithful service in his name. Amen. You may be seated.